It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. It's been said that if you can get paid to do something you love to do, then you've got it made. Well, Paula Poundstone is one of those people who has it made. She's been doing stand-up comedy for the last 34 years, and despite her regular game show appearances, including NPR's Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, heard Saturday and Sunday from 11 a.m. to noon on WESA, she is still hitting the road on tour doing stand-up comedy. Her current tour includes a stop in Pittsburgh at the Carnegie Library Music Hall of Homestead in Munhall. She's written an autobiography called There Is Nothing in This Book That I Meant to Say. And she joins us now. Paula Poundstone, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Oh, thanks very much.
It sounds I'm sorry, go ahead.
Well, no, I'm really looking forward to going there. I've been there before. And that the showroom that you guys have that's over top of the pool at the library, it's just a gem. It's great.
It sounds like you're having a lot of fun on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
It is. You know, if the others didn't cheat, it would be the perfect work experience.
How does it compare to other game shows you've done, like To Tell the Truth and Hollywood Squares?
I don't know. I mean, there is similarities in that I'm paid to sit in a chair and play a game and laugh, which just seems immoral. It's hardly work. And by the way, I think I lost at those other games as well. I am the big loser, not by design, but I tend to be the village idiot of the show. For those who don't know, it's a weekly news quiz show, and three panelists vie for the mantle of, you know, most informed, I guess, for the week. But we can say whatever we want, and the goal is to be entertaining and funny, I suppose. And so we are.
Well, of course, you've made a name for yourself doing stand-up, and you began back in 1979. How did you get your start?
I started doing open mic nights in Boston in 79, you know, where anybody who wanted to could go up for 5 minutes and tell their little jokes. You know, just sort of started practicing that way. And after, I don't know, not that long, several months, a year or something, I took a Greyhound bus around the country to see what clubs were like in different cities and ended up in San Francisco for a few years, you know, before I made my way down here to silly, stupid Southern California.
But you never lost the Boston accent.
I have a titch of it, I think. You know, I don't sound like that. You know, when I go back there, in fact, I just recorded an album in Boston. It's called I Heart Jokes, Paula Tells Them in Boston. And I do a lot of interaction with the audience, and, you know, you hear those guys talk. It's a great accent. So I just have a titch of it. There's a lot of people who do the whole thing.
Now, did you know that stand-up comedy was what you wanted to do early on as a kid?
Yeah, I did. I don't think I knew that I would. And in fact, well, maybe not stand-up per se. I think I had hoped to be like a comic actress because I was familiar, you know, especially with Lily Tomlin and Kel Burnett, you know, Maritella Moore and Gilda Radner, those types. So I think I saw myself doing that somewhere. And then when stand-up comedy was sort of, what's the word?
In vogue?
Yeah, it came, kind of came back to life in the very late 70s. And I just so happened to be there right then. And so, you know, I kind of got in on the ground floor. I would still like to do comic acting at some point. I don't know. For now, I do this.
You know, I think back to 1979 when you were getting your start. You were part of that great comedy scene in Boston at the Ding Ho that produced stand-up performers like Stephen Wright and Lenny Clark and Joe Alasky and others. But as far as I can remember, you were the only woman around that time that was doing stand-up. So what was that like for you?
You know, being a woman, you know, among, you know, a bunch of men or being, and I wasn't the only one, but there weren't many of us, it's true. But it's sort of a double-edged sword, you know, because there are times where you get sort of recognition for this fact. There are other times that one might be excluded for that reason. And they probably somewhere balance each other out. So I don't know that for me that it was ever sort of a disadvantage or an advantage right across the board, you know. I can't even say on the radio some of what I used to follow.
Try and explain what you follow.
They were not a classy bunch, you know, my co-workers. I mean, Steve Wright, for example, was just, you know, brilliant and there was a very aggressive style that was popular then in Boston, and it was difficult to play to a crowd that had been sort of fed that enthusiastically for part of the evening, because the way they used to do their shows back then was they'd have like 6 comics in a night. You know, everybody did like 15 minutes or something like that, maybe less or so, I can't remember. But, you know, they'd have like 6 comics in a night, and then, you know, sometimes by the time I got on, it was like playing to wild animals. I don't know, I was a little more tame.
Did you get along with those guys? Did they help? Did any of them help you at all?
Sure. I mean, I don't know what I'm not sure I needed help with anything, but but we did get along. Sure. Absolutely. There's a great comic, in fact, that I just talked to the other day on the phone named Jim Tingle. Tingle does national stuff as well, but he was a great Boston comic. Very, very funny and smart, you know. Yeah, just I still have connections and nice relationships there. There's another really brilliant guy named Jack Gallagher that came out of there. I think he does the occasional late night stand up show, you know, but just a, you know, brilliant, funny, sweet guy.
It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. We're talking with comedian Paula Poundstone, known for, among other things, her appearances on NPR's Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me. She's currently on tour with a stop in Pittsburgh at the Carnegie Library Music Hall of Homestead in Munhall. Paula, you have been out there on the road for a long time. What makes you want to keep doing the one-night stands and traveling and all the stuff that goes along with that?
Well, I mean, I wish I was Mrs. Weasley. I wish I could disapparate instead of, you know, flying on an airplane and instead of having to stay the night in a hotel. But outside of that, it really is just the greatest experience. I get to go be with a group of people and, you know, laugh for a couple hours, you know, at night. I get to, you know, and anything that happens to me, no matter how badly it goes, I know in the back of my mind that I get to go tell it on stage somewhere and, you know, sort of squeeze the, you know, the essential oils from it, get the part that we all relate to and you know, you'll tell it to somebody else and you'll get that recognition laughter. It's a great job. I couldn't be happier that I get to do this, and I have the best crowds. Now I work, it's just me on the show. I don't have anybody else on with me, but in the old days when I worked clubs and they would have a, you know, a headliner and an opener and an MC, guys would kill to work with me, and not because it's such a stroll in the park to be around me, but because they wanted to talk to my audience. I'm hoping to achieve incontinence in audience members. I'm hoping that, you know, that people laugh really, really hard. I hope that they come away at least with having neared incontinence and also, with sore faces.
How would you say that your act has evolved? And I'm not even sure if that's the right word, but it's about the only one I can think of. Or been refined over the years.
My act has evolved because I used to talk about coming out of the club, I mean, out of the cave with my club, and now I talk about raising my children in a house full of cats and kids.
Yeah, I've heard that you really love cats, and I read that you share your home with 16 of them.
Yeah, but once you have 16, the love goes right out of it, let me tell you. I do share my home with them. I don't know if I could say that I love them. I take care of them. I take very good care of them. I take better care of them than they sometimes deserve, I must say. It's a huge job. I have 16 cats. I have a webcam on their food and water bowls that can be seen on my website. It's called the Poundstone Diner Cam. Although it's down right now because we just had the linoleum in the kitchen replaced, so now it's my assistant is reassembling the diner cam even as we speak. It's kind of like having a movie all the time watching them, so they are kind of entertaining. But, oh, my heavens, it's a lot of lint lifting.
You've written and starred in an HBO special, your own Bravo special, your own variety show on ABC, albeit a short-lived one. What are some of the big show business dreams that you're still hoping to achieve?
Let's see. I'd like to do movies someday, I guess. I'm working on another book currently. It's a show business dream to complete it. And, you know, it's coming along, but unbelievably slowly. You know, honestly, I want to be Tony Bennett. I want to be doing my job to, you know, 3 generations of audience members. I want to still be having a good time and have audiences still have a good time, and, you know, until I'm 80 or 90. And I would consider myself, you know, the luckiest person in the world were that possible, regardless of whether any other show business dreams came to pass or not.
Comedian Paula Poundstone has been my guest. You can hear her on NPR's Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me every Saturday and Sunday from 11 a.m. to noon right here on 90.5 WESA. Paula, it has been great having you on Essential Pittsburgh. Thanks so much for visiting with us.
Well, thanks very much. And I love Pittsburgh. Great place.
A new playground for tech entrepreneurs is coming to Pittsburgh. We'll get the details from Pop City's Deb Smith when Essential Pittsburgh returns on 90.5 WESA.